Good morning. It's good to see everyone this morning, and it's good for us to be able to come together to worship God this morning. In that great passage of Hebrews chapter 1, 1 through 4, we're told that God is speaking to us, and He is speaking to us in His Son. This morning, I want us to study about the fact that God is speaking and the importance of listening to Him. We're told in Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 2 that at the end of these days, God has spoken unto us in His Son. And when God speaks to us, we certainly need to listen. This morning, I would like for us to consider the matter of how God speaks to us. There are various individuals today claiming that God speaks to them in various ways outside of the Word of God. There are those in the past that have claimed that God has spoken directly to them to reveal His will and start some new religion. Muhammad did that in the early 600s A.D. He said that God spoke to him and that message was to be recorded in what would be known as the Quran. In the mid-1800s, Joseph Smith claimed that God spoke to him and that his message was to be recorded in what would be known as the Book of Mormon. Around the same time in the 1800s, Mary Baker Eddy said that God spoke to her and that her revelations, of course, were to be recorded in what would be known as the Science and Health with Key to the Scriptures, a book that they use among the Christian Science Church. There have been those that have claimed that God spoke directly to them, if not to start a new religion, just simply to guide them in life. God called me to do this, and God called me to do that, and we'll illustrate that in just a moment. You see, people have claimed that God has spoken to them directly, and so the importance of studying from the Word of God, how does God speak to me? I believe this lesson would be important for all of us to take note of, because we all have religious conversations with folks, and we need to be able to guide them in the Scripture to let them know how God speaks. It's common, I believe, to talk with folks, and in the course of the conversation, they will say something along the lines that God told me, and then they'll go on. And we need to be able to study with them. We need to be able to take them to the Word of God to see exactly how it is that God speaks. There's no question that God speaks. The question is, how does God speak? Does He speak directly to me, or does He speak to me, Hebrews 1 and verse 2, through His Son? And then, of course, there have been those that have claimed direct revelation from God, that God spoke directly to them, and this has led to really outrageous claims. There have been individuals who have said, God spoke to me and said that I would be the Messiah. There have been very outrageous claims that have involved religious movements and religious individuals. And unfortunately, some of these alleged direct revelations have resulted in terrible acts. Suicides and murders. We're not talking about something, brethren and friends, that is mundane. We're not talking about something that has no serious consequence. We're talking about things where God told me that we were to kill ourselves. You see, these are serious things. Right now, down in Decatur, Georgia, there's a trial going on of a man who shot another individual outside of a daycare. And in the course of the trial, it came out that he was having an affair with this deceased man's wife. And he shot this man. And he told those individuals on the trial that an angel from God spoke to him. And this angel looked like Olivia Newton-John. And spoke to him and said that he was to kill this man because the children belong to him, and that this man should not be with those children. I should be with those children. And so this angel, who looked like Olivia Newton-John, told me to kill this man. Brethren, that's going on right now. That's this week. This is real. We're talking about things where people are saying things that have serious, deadly consequences. And so we need to understand how God speaks. Now, we think that that's funny, and we think, well, who would be that crazy? They're serious. They're dead serious, and it causes people to die. And so how does God speak? It's a very important lesson and a very important principle. And that's what we want to study this morning. Just a few weeks back, I received a letter in the mail of a lady that lives up north, and she's writing a book. She's putting some religious material together, and she had seen some material that I had published on my website, and she wanted to use it in her book. And when I got her letter, it was a letterhead, and on the top it said Apostle, and then it gave her name. Just yesterday, I had gotten an email from her where she wanted to send out her bio and her background to all of these people that she had been contacting, other individuals she was wanting to use their material as well. And so she sent out a 3-page bio of herself, telling about her work background and her spiritual background and so forth. And this caught my eye, and I wanted to share it with you. Under the heading of Apostolic Calling, she says, and I quote, "The Lord asked me to start using the apostle title on February the 23rd, 2011, after a long, hard season of obedience and sacrifice. I was confirmed to be an apostle by," and then she mentions a woman's name, "during a small prayer time on April the 19th, 2011. And then she says, "I have written a few poems and a few songs which I had notarized just after the Lord gave them to me." And then she goes on to talk about those kinds of things. "I would like to spend some time and work through other notes that I have for writing as an apostle for a part-time hobby. I'm also working on some other writings which I believe the Lord has given to me." And she goes on and talks about that. Under the heading Personal Healing Miracles, "I have personally had healing miracles from the Lord, which include Him supernaturally healing me of undiagnosed breast cancer, which I believe that He showed me was linked to an abortion that I had in 1984. I believe He has showed me, I believe He has told me," these types of things. Under the heading Gift of Administration, "I have had the gift of administration, which means that I can analyze a problem and come up with solutions. Gift of Miracles, on July the 21st, 2011, which is my father's birthday, the Lord spoke to me and said, quote, 'You have the gift of miracles,'" end quote. People believe the Lord is speaking to them, and the Lord is saying, "You're an apostle." These are real types of things. And so this morning, I want us to think about the importance of how is it that God speaks. We all believe that God speaks, but how is it that He does that? Well, let's turn our attention now to the scripture reading that David had earlier. Turn to Hebrews chapter 1, and I want us to consider some things here of importance. When we're talking with folks, you will often hear somebody say, "Well, God said to me." We need to stop right there and talk about how did God speak to you? How does God speak to us? If we don't understand what the Bible teaches, there will be constant religious division and confusion. We had a couple of visitors just last Sunday, and afterwards when I was studying with them, one in particular was saying, "I believe and I feel." And this individual said to me, "Nothing will convince me. Nothing," he said, "nothing you can say will convince me that we're saved by anything other than faith. Nothing you can say." And he repeated that 2 or 3 times. And he said, "I believe with all my heart and I feel with all my heart," you see. God speaks to us through His Word, not through our thoughts and feelings and what we think and what is going around in our heart and in our mind. And so these are very important types of things that we need to look at. In Hebrews chapter 11, "God, having of old time spoken unto the fathers in the prophets, by divers portions and in divers manners." The older versions use the word sundry or the word divers. It just simply means various or different. Some of the newer versions use the word different. "But hath at the end of these days spoken unto us in His Son." And then some descriptions of His deity are given there in verses 2, 3, and 4. Look at this text and notice at the very beginning of the book that the author begins to make some contrasts. Notice some lessons that he teaches us. First of all, when God spoke of old time, Number one, it differed in time. Notice at the beginning, brethren, when you read these first few verses, you're reading about a contrast. God once did it this way, but in contrast, He's doing it this way. And there are going to be four different areas that we're going to look at. Number one, God's speaking differed in time. In other words, the old time refers to the time of the Old Testament. Now, it's a different time. It's when Jesus speaks. So, number one, it differed in time. Number two, it differed in the recipients. Look at it. He once spoke to the fathers. This refers to the Old Testament patriarchs and the Israelite ancestors. But then he says, He has spoken unto us in His Son. Now the recipients are different. So at one time, it was in the Old Testament. It was to those Old Testament people that are mentioned there. But now it's unto us. Number three, it differed in the agency. Who it is that God is using. Look at verse 1. At one time, the Old Testament times, He was using the Old Testament prophets. Now He's using His Son. And so the agency or the individual that He's using to reveal His Word is now different. And number 4, it differed, and this is very important, it differed in the amount and the method that He used, but now He's simply going to use His Son. And instead of it being in different times and in different ways, now there's going to be one complete final revelation. This phrase, divers portions and divers manners, or the King James, sundry times and sundry manners, it simply means different parts. The first Greek word means parts or portions. The second one means methods. So God, in the Old Testament, God revealed His Word at different times or in different portions, and then He used different methods to do that. But at the end of these days, it's not going to be different portions, it's going to be one complete final revelation. And when that one complete final revelation is given, there's not going to be any more verbal revelation from God. Jude 3, contend earnestly for the faith which was once for all delivered to the saints. By the time we have the end of the New Testament writings, we have all that God gives us. And it was delivered once for all time. The Greek word there, hapax, once. It means once and once and for all. It's the same word that is used in Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 27. It is appointed unto man once to die, and then cometh the judgment. Once and one time only, and one final. You don't die and then die again and die again. It's once and once for all time. And so the faith was once for all delivered. It's a complete final revelation. It wasn't like the Old Testament where we're going to do that little by little, from Genesis to Malachi, little by little, different portions, different times. It's going to be one complete final revelation when Jesus Christ speaks. Now let's illustrate this matter of what the Hebrew writer is talking about with regard to divers portions and divers manners. First of all, look at it. The different parts. This is the divers portions. Various parts, some versions say. For example, in the early part of the book of Genesis, God spoke to the patriarchs. Adam and Eve, Noah, Abraham. So that was one part of God's revelation. And then later He gave a law through Moses. And so I'm going to give a little bit to the patriarchs, and then later on Mount Sinai I'm going to give a little bit more through Moses. Different portions. It wasn't all given to the patriarchs. Some of it was given to the patriarchs, and then some more was given through the law of Moses. Different parts. Another way to illustrate that would be that in the Old Testament sometimes God would use a type, the brazen serpent. Or He would use a shadow. The tabernacle was to foreshadow the heavenly tabernacle. The feast and the sacrifices in the Old Testament were to foreshadow the coming of Jesus' great sacrifice. The prophecies, a little bit of a prophecy about the church, Daniel chapter 2 and Isaiah 2 and Joel 2. A little bit of the prophecy concerning the suffering Savior, Isaiah 53, or whatever the case might be. Just a little bit here that's going to talk about more later. Different parts, in other words. Well, God also used different methods. One time he spoke in a burning bush, and another time he would speak in a vision, or he would speak to Joseph in dreams. He spoke to Balaam with a donkey. The scripture says the Lord opened the donkey's mouth. That was amazing, I'm sure. He may have used an angel, or he may have used a prophet, or he may have spoke himself. But different methods and in different parts. But the contrast is, in Jesus Christ, it's no longer different parts. It's one final complete message, and it's going to be through Jesus Christ. The question is not, does God speak to me? The question is, how does God speak? God speaks to me. He's speaking to me right now. He's speaking to you right now. But the question is, how? Is it directly, as he commonly did in Old Testament times, or is it through agency, through a medium or an agency of Jesus Christ? The Hebrew writer tells us in Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 2 that there was a time in which he spoke directly. There was a time in which he spoke face to face, like the scripture says with Moses. I spoke face to face with him. But he doesn't do that anymore. And so these fantastic claims of an angel that looks like Olivia Newton-John, and I'm now an apostle, my heart goes out to these people. I really feel sorry for them. They seriously think that this is what is going on in their life, when in fact it is not. Because we know what the truth is. God is speaking to us through His Son. He's not speaking directly to me in my mind, telling me these things and showing me these things. Now, look at these four contrasts. In Hebrews chapter 1, it's a contrast, and that's what I want us to see at the beginning of the lesson. It's a contrast that has these four different areas. Number one, old time, the Old Testament times. But now, at the end of these days, that's the days of Jesus Christ, that's the days of the New Testament church, and until today. At one time he spoke to those old Israelite patriarchs and fathers, but now the Hebrew writer says, unto us, and that would include us today. It was once the Old Testament prophets, but now it's Jesus Christ, and the contrast is not just Jesus Christ, but if you look at verses 2 and 3, it's a Son that has divine qualities. He's the creator of the world. He's the very image of His substance. The men in the Old Testament were just men. Isaiah, Jeremiah, they're just men. God used men, prophets, to... Now we're talking about a divine Son, the very image of His substance. And so there's a contrast there. And then at one time, at the old time, it was different amounts and different methods. But now it's one final, complete, spoken and written message. That's it. And so God has changed the way He has revealed things. There was a time in which He spoke directly to folks. And when somebody said, God spoke to me, that was the truth. God spoke to me. Moses could say that, and others could say that. God spoke to me. And what we mean by that is, verbally, I heard Him in my ears. He is literally and verbally speaking to me. But God's not doing that anymore. And so this passage and other Bible passages are overlooked, and people are just assuming that God is still speaking today the way that He has always spoken. No, there is a change, and that's what the Hebrew writer brings out at the very beginning of this book. This phrase, at the end of these days, turn to 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 20. At the end of these days, that phrase refers to the time beginning when Jesus came to preach. And when you turn to Acts chapter 2, verses 16 and 17, Peter on the day of Pentecost is preaching, and he's quoting Joel 2. Isaiah also talks about this in Isaiah chapter 2 and verse 2. The end of these days, or these last days, is the establishment of the church on Pentecost. So the end of these days refers to the time when Jesus came and the beginning of the New Testament church. And we are in those days today. So when God is speaking at the end of these days, it is through His Son, the agency. And I want you to notice in verse 2, hath at the end of these days spoken unto us in His Son. In His Son. That's the medium That's the means. That's the agency. And we're going to see how that is in just a moment. Jesus, then, is God's last spokesman. I think about Peter's words in John chapter 6 and verse 68. You have the words of eternal life. I think of the Jewish crowd in John 7 and verse 45. Never a man spoke like this. This is God's last spokesman. He taught as one with authority. Matthew 7, 28 and 29. When we're looking for a word from God, we need to be turning to the words of Jesus. That's how He speaks to us today. Now, we would never go out and claim that we saw an angel that looked like Olivia Newton-John and shoot somebody. And we would probably never claim to be an apostle like this other individual. But there is a lot of God is telling me going on in other ways. Just in casual religious beliefs, in casual religious practices. I believe God is telling me such and such. I believe God would want me to have such and such. We hear that all the time. Now, I don't question the honesty and integrity of somebody saying that, but I question the truth of that. It's not happening. It's happening the way the Hebrew writer says it's happening, and that is that God is speaking to us through His Son, Jesus Christ. He's not speaking directly to us. I'm not questioning their sincerity. I'm not questioning their religious background or their spirituality. They may be church-going, Bible-reading, prayer offering folks. I don't question any of that. But when they say, God spoke to me, and it's something other than the words of Jesus, that's what is questioned. God is not speaking that way today. Because He has told us He is not speaking that way. How then does the Father speak to us? Well, turn with me, in addition to Hebrews 1 verse 2, turn with me to John chapter 12. Let's go down through the chain of revelation. And what I'd like to turn our attention to now is what I like to call the chain of revelation. How do we get from God to us today? Well, there's a chain. And each link in the chain is important. And each link in the chain must be properly understood. It begins with the Father speaking to us through the Son. Turn to John chapter 12. When Jesus spoke, He was speaking the very words of God. And there are many passages. We'll just look at a few. John chapter 12, verse 48. He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my sayings hath one that judgeth him. The word that I spake, the same shall judge him in the last day. Right there. The word that I spake. What Jesus is speaking to us, because God is speaking through Him, He's God's last spokesman, that's what's going to judge us. For I spake not from myself. Now look at verse 49. I spake not from myself, but the Father that sent me, He hath given me a commandment what I should say and what I should speak. Jesus spoke the very words of God. God speaks to us today through His Son. Well, of course, that's what Hebrews says. But that's what Jesus says as well. How is the Father speaking to us? Well, He's speaking to us through His Son. Well, then that raises a question. Well, how does the Son speak to us? Does that mean, Chris, that Jesus is directly speaking to you in your ears? Well, it could be that. But let's keep reading in the Scripture. How does the Son speak? Well, it's a part of the chain of revelation. Let's look at the next link in the chain. The Son speaks to us through the Holy Spirit. We're going to come to John 16 in just a moment. So let's bypass that for right now. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. The Son speaks through the Holy Spirit. Now, He spoke verbally and literally when He was on the earth. And His message was recorded, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. He spoke literally and verbally while He was on the earth. When He ascended back into heaven, He continued to speak and He used the words of the Holy Spirit. Paul is talking here. Turn to 1 Corinthians 2, verse 10. But unto us God revealed them. Notice that we're talking about the chain of revelation. How does God speak to me? How does He reveal His Word to me? Unto us, that is us apostles, Paul is saying, unto us God revealed them through the Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. When God reveals His Word, it's through the Spirit. The Holy Spirit searches the deep things of God. In other words, God has something in His mind. God the Son is going to reveal that, but also God the Holy Spirit is going to reveal, is going to search the deep things of God the Father. Why? Because they're one. They're Trinity. They're one. They're three members of the Godhead. They're united. They work together. And so one is able to search the deep things or the mind of the other. That's a beautiful thought there. For who among men knoweth the things of a man save the spirit of the man which is in him? I don't know what you're thinking. You don't know what I'm thinking right now at this moment. We know what we're thinking, but we can't read somebody else's mind. Even so, the things of God, that is what He wants to reveal to man, none knoweth save or except the Spirit of God. But we receive not the Spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is from God, that we might know the things that were freely given to us. Which things also we speak, not in words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Spirit teacheth. Paul is saying, I'm getting this from the Spirit. I'm getting this from the Holy Spirit. But the reason I chose this passage, come down to verse 16. Did we leave out the Son? No, Paul is saying, but we have the mind of Christ. In other words, Paul is saying, what I'm getting from Christ. But he's using the Spirit to give it to me. It's still the mind of Christ. But he's using the words of the Spirit to reveal that to me. Now, turn with me to John chapter 16, and we'll go ahead and get this next point. Well, okay, maybe God doesn't speak directly to me, and maybe Jesus doesn't speak directly to me, but maybe it's the Holy Spirit that's speaking directly to me. No, we've got to keep looking at the third link in the chain. What's the next link in the chain? It is that the Holy Spirit is using the apostles to reveal His Word. The point is that it is not direct. It is through. And that's why I underscored on the chart each time the word through. It's through. It's by means of agency. In the old time, God would speak directly to people sometimes. And that was a part of His revelation. Speak to them and they would hear it in their ears or they would hear it in their mind. He doesn't do that anymore. It is through a means and a medium. The Son. Then the Son is using the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is using the apostles. Look at John chapter 14 when Jesus is going to leave them after the cross and go back into heaven. He says, I don't want to leave you orphaned. I want to have someone who will come and help you, the Comforter, the Holy Spirit. Look at chapter 14, verse 16. Not only will He comfort them and aid them, but will God and Jesus will be speaking through Him. I will pray, John 14, 16, the Father, and He shall give you another Comforter that He may be with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive. Notice that the Spirit is going to come and help them. But before we leave, look at that verse. Spirit of truth. It's the Spirit who's going to be revealing truths to them. Now look at the same chapter in verse 25. These things have I spoken unto you while yet abiding with you. But the Comforter, even the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, He shall teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I said unto you. Notice that if the apostles need to remember something, He was going to help them recall that. And then notice that He was going to help them teach new truths in the present. So whether it's in the past, recalling, or new truths in the present or in the future, He's going to help them with that. So the Holy Spirit is going to come and guide them into all the truth. But notice in verse 26, He shall teach you all things, but look at the statement right before that. Whom the Father will send, look at it, in my name. The Holy Spirit is going to be revealing these words in the name of Jesus. By Jesus' authority, He's going to be getting it from Jesus. And so the Father is using the Son is speaking through the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is going to guide the apostles into all the truth. Now look at chapter 16, verses 12 through 15, and we see the chain even clearer. Chapter 16, verse 12. I have yet many things to say unto you, but you could not bear them now. Now we're talking about future things. The previous verse says He's going to help you with the past. Call to remembrance. He's going to help you in the present. And I even have other things I need to say, but I can't do that now. He's going to help you with future things. Howbeit, when He, the Spirit of truth, is come, He shall guide you. Now, who is Jesus speaking to? Well, when they leave the upper room in John chapter 13, they leave the upper room and they sing a hymn and they go out to the Mount of Olives. Jesus is speaking to the apostles. This is not a general statement to anyone and everyone. When he says you, he's speaking to that band of apostles. Judas is left, but everybody else is there. Chapter 16, verse 13. He shall guide you into all the truth, for he shall not speak from himself. He's not acting independently. He's in a chain. He's in a chain of revelation. He's not just out doing whatever he wants. It is in this chain. For he shall not speak from himself, but whatsoever things he shall hear, these things shall he speak, and he shall declare unto you all things that are to come. Well, who is he hearing it from? Well, keep reading. He shall glorify me, Jesus, for he shall take of mine and shall declare it unto you. And so the Son is speaking to us. Hebrews 1:2, he's going to speak to us through the Son. Well, how is the Son speaking? He's using the Holy Spirit to speak. Well, how is the Holy Spirit speaking? He's speaking to the apostles and guiding them into all the truth. Verse 15, all things whatsoever the Father hath are mine. So the Father speaks to the Son and through the Son. Therefore said I that he declareth, he taketh of mine, he, the Holy Spirit, taketh of mine and declareth them unto you. And so you begin to see that chain. Turn with me to 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 1 and 2. The question has never been, does God speak to us? The question is, how does he do that? At the end of these days, God has chosen to speak through the Son, who uses the Holy Spirit, who uses the apostles to speak. In 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 1 and 2, Peter says, this now, beloved, the second epistle that I write unto you, and in both of them I stir you up, your sincere mind, by putting you in remembrance, that you should remember the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets and the commandment of the Lord and Savior through your apostles. Look at that. It's the commandment of the Lord and Savior through your apostles. And so Jesus is using the apostles and working through them to preach and teach. And he's using the Holy Spirit to do that. Now we have one more link in the chain. Well then, maybe the apostles are coming back from the dead speaking directly to us. No, there's one last link in the chain. How do the apostles then speak to us? They do that through their written word. Paul said, note that the things that I write, 1 Corinthians 14:27, what I write, they are the commandments of the Lord. And so the apostles are speaking to us through their written word. Turn with me to Ephesians chapter 3. So then we begin to see then, how does God speak to us? Through the Son, who uses the Holy Spirit, who uses the apostles, who write it down. And so God speaks to us today through his written word. In Ephesians chapter 3, I'd like to read verses 3 through 5. The Apostle Paul wrote, how that by revelation was made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote before in few words, whereby when you read, not when you hear a little voice in your head, not when you see an angel that looks like Olivia Newton-John, but when you read, you may know, he says. When you read, you may know, or you can perceive my understanding in the mystery of Christ, which in other generations was not made known unto the sons of men, as it hath now been revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets in the Spirit. And so notice it's called, verse 4, the mystery of Christ. But Christ is revealing that through the Spirit to the holy apostles and prophets. And what are they doing? They are writing that down, verse 3, whereby when you read, you can perceive. And so the apostles are speaking through their written word. How does the Father speak to us today? He uses this chain of revelation, and he speaks to us through his written word. It's not this, friends. It's not a direct line with God. It's not a direct link with God. It's not some special direct communication that I have that you don't have. And sometimes folks will talk about that when God is speaking to them, that they have a special uplink to Him that we just don't have. And they have a special connection, and they have a special line directly to heaven, you see, and that type of thing. No, we all have the same access to God, and that is written word. We all have that same access. It is not a direct. And here's what I want you to focus on. Direct versus through or mean. This is direct. There's nothing in between. You're just directly getting it from God. He's speaking to you and you hear it in your ears. At one time, He did that. And there was times in which in different portions and manners and ways, it included a direct revelation. But today, it is through. It's the agency of the Son who uses the Holy Spirit, who uses the apostles, who write it down, and we have it today. That's what we've just seen. Notice that it is the Son, the Holy Spirit, the apostles, and the written word. Yes, we hear from God. God speaks to us. But these four things in the middle are the agency. These three individuals and the one written word. This is the agency through which God speaks to us today. I've actually studied with individuals this very part of the lesson that you've heard so far. And when you get done, they've said to me, but I still think we need something more than the Word of God. So I wanted to share this with you. And that's typically the response. Well, I still feel that God speaks to me. As if the written Word is good. Yeah, it's pretty good. But it's just not everything. No, let's look at a few Bible passages. The written Word of God is what produces faith. Somebody says, well, I need faith. You get it in the Word of God. Name one thing that you need spiritually from God that you do not get from the Word of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Notice 2 Timothy 3:17. Every scripture inspired of God makes us complete, whether it's for instruction, whether it's for correction, teaching in righteousness, for rebuking, whatever the case might be, the man of God may be thoroughly furnished, completely furnished unto every good work. How? Through the inspired scripture. God's written word is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword. Turn over to Hebrews chapter 4, verses 12 and 13. Somebody says, well, I just think we need something from God that will get in us and make some changes in us and can really probe the deep things that are in us. Look at Hebrews chapter 4. The Word of God, being active and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even the dividing of the soul and the spirit, both joints and marrow, quick to discern the thoughts and intents of the heart. You can't get any deeper inside of you than the thoughts and the intents of your heart. You can't get any deeper into you than that. And the Word of God goes right there and does whatever it needs to do. Everything we need with regard to our spiritual relationship to God can be had and found and accomplished in the Word of God. He's made it that way. Because it's His final revelation. Well, I just need something else to save me. No, James chapter 1 and verse 21. Receive with meekness the implanted word which is able to save your souls. Everything we need is found in that word. And so, there's always this idea, well, I've got to have something more. I need something more. Look at those Bible passages that tell us that it's all accomplished in the written word of God. And we realize then that is what God has given us in these areas, and that's what He wants us to have these helps. How does God speak to you as we close this morning? Not directly. He doesn't speak to you directly apart from His written word. And if we're waiting for some voice, some inner voice, we're waiting in vain. And even if we feel that we've heard something, turn with me to Deuteronomy chapter 18. We need to be plain and blunt about the very fact that it is possible to say that such and such was told me when it is just simply made up. And we don't like to be blunt and plain about that, but that is what is going on. Now, they may be deluded, they may be self-deluded and fooled, but it is just simply something that is being made up. In Deuteronomy chapter 18, and this goes all the way back to the Old Testament, it's been done for years, where somebody says, God spoke to me, and it was nothing more than just made up. In Deuteronomy chapter 18 and verse 20, but the prophet that shall speak a word presumptuously in my name, which I have not commanded him. Listen, this lady was never told by God that she was an apostle. The man down in Decatur, Georgia was not given an angel that looked like Olivia Newton-John. It just did not happen. God said, which I have not commanded. We just need to come to reality that there are people that are claiming things and God has not said those things. Which I have not commanded him to speak, or that shall speak in the name of other gods, the same prophet shall die. He says that prophet, verse 22, has spoken it presumptuously, meaning he's just made it up. He's just assumed it. And these folks, no matter how sincere they may be, the prophet in Deuteronomy 18 no doubt was sincere, but it was presumptuous. It was made up. It was not true. And this matter of, well, God said that I'm an apostle. Turn with me to Revelation chapter 2. And again, I'm not at all poking fun of anyone, but we need to test all things. You know what's interesting is, in Revelation chapter 2 and verse 2, if everybody that just makes that claim is that, then why do we have this in Revelation chapter 2 and verse 2 with regard to the church at Ephesus? You tried and tested them that call themselves apostles, and they are not. Is it possible for someone to claim to be an apostle and he's really not? Well, absolutely. They were doing it back in the first century. So when somebody claims to be an apostle, we have to test that and demonstrate that. And that's another lesson for another time. Well, if somebody says that God said that they're an apostle, then don't test that. No, test that. They're commended for doing that. They found that they really weren't that. And so just because somebody claims something or God said this or God told me I was going to be this doesn't mean that we just accept that carte blanche. We test that. We demonstrate that from the Word of God. God's Word is powerful. Romans 1:16. It's working in those who believe. 1 Thessalonians 2:13. It is living and active. Hebrews 4:13. That's how God is speaking to us. This is not some dead letter. Well, if God just speaks through the Bible, then that's all you got? You just got a Bible? We don't have it. It's living and active and powerful. We've got to get back to seeing the Bible for what it really is. And Paul says, it worketh in you that believe. What a powerful message. We don't hold some dead letter. We hold the living and active and powerful Word of God. We need to listen then. God is speaking to you through the words of Jesus. Hear ye Him, Matthew 17:5. Hear ye Him. And if we don't listen to Him, Acts 3:23, then we will be lost. This book closes in Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 15. See that you refuse not Him that speaketh. God is speaking to us through His Son. In verse 25. Hebrews 12:25, refuse not Him that speaketh. And that's what we're going to close with this morning. God is speaking to you through His Word to obey the gospel. Don't refuse that. Don't shut your ears off. Have you ever, your parents are talking to you, well, I don't want to listen. Your teacher's talking to you, well, I don't want to listen. Your boss is talking to you, well, I don't want to listen. Your spouse is talking to you, oh, I don't want to listen. We're just going to shut that off. We're not going to listen. We're not going to hear that. We do that sometimes in our relationships. We do that with God. What we're doing is we're turning off the very last thing that God gives us. When we refuse to hear Him speak through His Word, there is no other message. There's nothing left. There's no other voice. And so we've got to obey. Listen. Listen. God is speaking to you through His Word. I need to listen. You need to listen. There is no other word that's going to be given to us between now and the judgment day. That written, living and active revelation is what God is using. If through His Word He's telling you to obey and repent and be baptized this morning, come and do that. Don't refuse that. If through His Word He's telling you to come back and repent and pray for forgiveness as an erring child of God, don't refuse that. If there is something that in our life, every time we study,
It may not be a matter of I need to obey the gospel steps of salvation. It may be just in my Christian living. I hear something in a lesson. Don't shut it off. Don't close it out. Listen, refuse not him that is speaking. A lot of times, Bible lessons step on my toes. A lot of lessons that I give because I need help. I want to try to help. We step on our toes. Well, we can just say no to that, or we can listen and open up. God is talking to us, and what a great God that we have that wants to help us. And if this morning you need to make some changes as His Word, His written Word speaks to you, why won't you come as we stand and sing this song of encouragement?